Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We're going to be in the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians today, chapter 2. The word we often use in summarizing our main responsibility as a follower of Jesus in order to build his church and to reach others for Christ is evangelism. Now, whenever we hear the word evangelism, at least for me, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I think maybe for people that's been around for a while, it comes to their mind, is going door to door and having a one-on-one Bible study with someone. Now, while that was, and in some places still is, a means to share the gospel, we don't have to carry our big black Bible, we don't have to have a salesman smile and knock on doors in order to teach someone about Jesus. In fact, today that will turn many people off, as I found in Cincinnati several years ago. And so door knocking, although it may have some merit, is not the most effective way to set up Bible studies or to tell someone about Jesus. And the Mormon church found this out. At one time, and you still can see them sometimes, the Mormons would send out their missionaries that they called elders, and they would go door to door setting up Bible studies. And I've talked to many of them. In fact, just a few years ago, I stopped and talked to some as I was walking down Bottom Road. But they took a survey, and they discovered that the conversion rate for knocking on doors was 0.1%. They converted one family out of 1,000 that they contacted. They also discovered that the conversion rate of those that they became good friends with was 50%. In other words, they converted 50% of their friends that they had developed a relationship with over time. Now, I want you to know today that I do not agree with Mormon theology, but we can learn a lesson from them. And the lesson is this: we need to make friends with people. Do you have a friend or friends who are not Christians? I believe there's a much greater opportunity to bring a friend to Christ than a complete stranger. So we need, as the title of the sermon suggests, a method of friendship evangelism. And friendship evangelism is not new. I believe Jesus used that. And I believe it's what Paul is describing for us in this text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we're going to cover the first 12 verses today, right after we ask God for his wisdom and help as we spend some time in his word. So let's pray. Good morning again, Father. We know you're here with us. We've had a good song service. We've come around your table, and now we're going to open your word and share a portion of its truth. Thank you so much for that word. Thank you, Father, for all the teachings that we can have. Thank you for the love that we know you have given to us. We know what Jesus has done for us, and we know that he set the example in so many ways, and one of the examples that he set was being friends with other people. And so, Lord, I pray you will help us to be friends, and then we'll take advantage of the opportunities that you give us to witness to them, to practice friendship evangelism. Lord, I pray you will use me in a way that will be helpful and encouraging to those who are here, those who are watching, those who may be listening. And I just pray, Father, that everything that is said today will help us to become the witnesses that you want us to become in our lives. Would you please bless your word and give us your wisdom and understanding, and we will give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of your Son, and our Savior Jesus. Amen. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if just all the friends we had would ask us about our faith? Some of you may be thinking, well, I don't know about that. I mean, ideally, I think it would be fantastic if we could share the word with them and they were excited about it and they completely understood what it was that we were trying to get across to them. But unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way. I've often shared that one of my greatest concerns in preaching is trying to make what I say plain enough for everyone to understand. That's usually not that difficult because I'm not that smart. And yet, I want to make it interesting enough to keep your attention so that you won't go to sleep on me. I read about one preacher one time. He decided he was going to use a visual illustration in his sermon. So he brought four jars and he brought them out and he had four worms. And he took the four worms and he put them in these separate jars. And he said, I'm going to put this first worm in this jar of alcohol. Second worm, he put in a jar of smoke. Third worm, he said, I'm going to put this in chocolate syrup. And the fourth worm, he put in some good clean soil. And then he preached his sermon and he preached a message about all the good and bad things that we put into our bodies. And after he got to the end, he reported the following results. He got those jars out again. He said, this first worm and alcohol, dead. Second worm in the cigarette smoke, dead. Third worm in the chocolate syrup, dead. But then he got the fourth worm out. It was in good, clean soil. He said, this worm is alive. And then he asked the congregation, he said, what can you learn from this demonstration? Well, he wasn't expecting an answer. And some lady in the back, she raised her head and she stood up. And so he decided he'd call her. He said, what did you learn from this today? She said, well, I learned this much. As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you're not going to have any worms. Sometimes, as much as we try, there's going to be some people who are not going to get it when it comes to faith in Jesus. But I believe that the more friendships we develop, the more opportunities God will give to share our faith. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul's writing to a church that he had established during his second missionary journey. We read about that in Acts chapter 17. Once he established the church, he stayed for about, most scholars believe, 6 to 8 months. Then he moved on to Corinth. And it was in Corinth that Paul decided to write this first letter to these new Thessalonian Christians. And in this text, I believe Paul presents three components that make up friendship evangelism, and all three can be summarized in one word. Here's the first one, information. Let's look at the first two verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul said, for you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our reception among you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been treated abusively in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. So Paul is saying, look, in spite of that strong opposition, we didn't hesitate to tell you about Jesus. I mean, he knew that people were dying in their sins. And he realized that no matter what happened to him, he had very valuable information to share with his new friends. And Paul was not going to let anything or anyone keep him from sharing that gospel, the good news about Jesus. In order for us to get serious about telling our family and friends about Jesus, we have to come to the realization that they are lost. And that they, or anyone for that matter, are not going to be with us in heaven until they give their lives to Jesus. Now look at verses 3 and 4. Paul continues. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. For just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not intending to please people, but to please God who examines our hearts. Paul reveals the motive for friendship evangelism. At the end of verse 4, he said, not intending to please people, but to please God who examines our hearts. If Paul could gain the goodwill of people without compromising the gospel, he certainly did so, even if that meant extra effort, even if it meant discomfort to him. If we know that it pleases God to share Jesus with others, then what is it that keeps us from sharing our faith? The reason many Christians do not tell others about Jesus is simply because they're afraid. I believe most Christians love Jesus deeply, yet they are afraid. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of being ridiculed. They're afraid of not knowing what to say or how to teach. In short, their desire to please people is still stronger than their desire to please God. And then Paul said in verse 6, "Nor did we seek glory from people, either from you or from others, though we could have asserted our authority as apostles of Christ." I just think today we make evangelism harder than it needs to be. Because the most effective way to tell somebody about Jesus is just to use everyday conversation. You don't have to force the conversation. You can just let it come naturally. So let me give you an example of a way that you can create an opportunity to witness for Jesus. So let's just say, for example, you're at work. And you may just say something very casually to a coworker. Maybe it's at lunch, maybe it's a break, maybe you're able to talk to a coworker while you're working. And you say something like, "You know, we had a great discussion last night at church or last night at our small group. It was just amazing." And then don't say anything else. Now, they may not respond, and if they don't respond, it's not your time. It's not your opportunity. But they may say, "What was that? Or what was so amazing about it?" Now you've got a chance. Or you can talk about a fun weekend or a night you had with some of your fellow Christians. You were out to a movie or a concert. And you can say something like, "Man, last night we just had a blast. We were out with our friends from church. And you just can't believe how much fun we had." That's all you have to say. Now, if they don't say anything, it's not your time to witness. But I'm guessing many times they're going to ask, "Well, what was it that you did? What was so fun about it?" Now you have the opportunity to share about your brothers or sisters in Christ, to share about the church, or maybe even what Jesus has done for you. Now you're not being preachy. You're not trying to force your beliefs upon anybody. You're simply sharing conversation. You are sharing information about Jesus and his church in a very non-threatening way. And let me say this, and I thought about this all week. I need to say this because I think it's a problem in many churches. The more you talk positively about the church and what Jesus has done for you, the more your friends and your coworkers will want to learn and may even be willing to come to church and study your Bible with you, or at least maybe with someone else. That's important. Talk positively about the church. The main thing is be yourself and look for opportunities to share Jesus with others. Second component of friendship evangelism is participation. And all that means, all I'm saying by that is get involved with people. Become friends. Develop relationships. Paul said in verse 7, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." Now we know how much a good mother cares for her children. And we've got a whole lot of good mothers here. Paul considered the Thessalonians to be as dear and close to him as a nurse's own children would be to hers. Look at verse 8. "In the same way," he said, "we had a fond affection for you and were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become very dear to us." The true servant of Jesus will do whatever is necessary to help people get to know Jesus. Anything we can give, we will give. That is friendship evangelism. When we begin sharing our lives with others, we will have greater opportunity to bring them to Christ. You disciple people by letting them know that you care. Often, our lives must be shared before we can share the gospel. And then he said in verse 9, "For you recall, brothers and sisters, our labor and hardship. It was by working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you that we proclaimed to you the gospel of God." Paul often worked diligently in the cities where he was preaching and teaching so as not to be a burden for the people there, especially a financial burden. There's just no way we're going to be able to bring people to Jesus without being kind and gentle to them. Because if you're rude, or if you're sarcastic, or if you're obnoxious, it will be very unlikely that you will ever bring that person to Jesus. So let me illustrate it in this way. I got to thinking about this week. Let's say, for example, maybe this has happened to you before, I don't know. Let's say you're in a Walmart, and you take your basket of items, whether it's food or something else, and you go to the checkout line. I know most of us do self-checking, but let's just pretend they didn't have any of that. You had to go through the checkout line. And you go through the checkout line and you quickly realize you're in the wrong line, but there's already people behind you. And this gal that's checking people out is very slow. You can tell she's new and she's inexperienced, but you're in a hurry. In fact, you're in a big hurry. And you try to be patient for about 30 seconds, but this gal's really slow. And so you finally get a little bit upset and you say to her, "Will you please hurry up? You're slower than my 95-year-old grandmother." Well, she doesn't get much faster, and you get more angry. And finally, you turn to her and you say, "I'm never going to come to your checkout line again. In fact, I'm telling the manager just how slow you are." And you grab your groceries when you finally get them, and you walk off. Very next morning, you're serving as a greeter at your church. And you notice one very nicely dressed young lady walking into the church, and you immediately recognize her as that checker that you yelled at the day before. As soon as she sees your face, she stops, she turns around, and she walks back out and never comes back. You've probably blown your opportunity to ever be an effective witness to that young lady. Paul dealt with the Thessalonians with love, compassion, and gentleness. He knew that he had to be friends with the Thessalonians if he was ever going to bring them to Christ. So if you want friends, act friendly. Share yourself. Invite people over. Get to know them. Share your interests. Go to the movies. Go hunting. Go fishing. Go camping. Play golf. Shop together. That's how you cultivate friendships. Help people with their needs. Visit those who are sick. Lend a helping hand when you are able. When we share our lives, showing people that we have a genuine love and concern for them, they will know that we care and we're not trying to deceive them. Then they will be more willing to begin listening when that opportunity comes to share our faith. I came across a great story, true story. It's about a woman who came to an elder in a congregation in Lubbock, Texas. And she asked him if he would study the Bible with her. And he gladly did. And it resulted, in not too long of a time, in this woman's salvation. So the elder was curious. And so he asked the woman what prompted her to come to church and to ask him to study the Bible with her. And here's what she said. "Over a year ago, our 3-year-old son was hit by a car and was critically injured. It was touch and go for a while. During that time, our next door neighbor, who was a member of this church, was so helpful. She took care of our other son. She cooked dinner for my family. She did our shopping. She cleaned the house. She washed the laundry. She did all of that without a single complaint or asking for anything in return." And then she continued, "I knew my neighbor had something I didn't have. I knew that she was a member of this Church of Christ, but that's all I knew about her. She was always friendly. She had invited me to church on many occasions, but prior to my son's accident, I had nothing to do with her because my mother told me about those members of the Church of Christ. She said they were judgmental, unfriendly, and despised anyone who wasn't a member of their church. And then she started crying. And she told the elder, "My neighbor was nothing like my mother said, just the opposite. A few weeks ago, she moved away, and I really miss her. While my son was in the hospital, my neighbor encouraged me to read the Bible, but I wasn't ready. After she moved, I started reading it, and I discovered that she had something I didn't have. She had a caring Savior." That's a great story. Helping others when they are in need, expecting nothing in return, really makes an impact in people's lives. The Thessalonians were more eager to hear the gospel because of Paul's genuine love, care, and concern for them. It is true that we should want to share what Jesus means to us to anyone who would listen. But let me ask you this. Who will be a more ready listener than the one who has become your friend? You may not be a teacher, but you can be a friend. Third component of friendship evangelism is demonstration. I think that story is a good illustration of that. In other words, we're to live like Jesus lived. I mean, how can we teach someone the gospel without living it? Our non-Christian friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers are watching us to see if we really believe what we profess. If we are not real, then they don't want to have any part of us or our God. I mean, how can you show a friend the importance of giving honor and praise to God if you are regularly absent from the assembly of the saints? How can you teach against immorality when you use filthy language and you access porn sites on the internet? How can you tell someone about the love and mercy of God when you refuse to forgive another because they've committed some offense against you? The answer is you can't. It doesn't matter how true our teaching is if we're not striving to live like Jesus. We are not going to bring people to him. Paul said this in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly and rightly and blamelessly we behaved towards you believers." Paul knew that he couldn't teach on love if he didn't love. He knew he couldn't teach about purity if he wasn't pure. He couldn't teach about faith if he wasn't faithful. Paul knew that his life had to correspond with his teaching. And then he continued in verses 11 and 12. "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." The ministry of exhorting, that's simply urging others to do right things. The ministry of encouraging, which is simply giving confidence to those who may be down, are both needed in our society. There are so many things today that cause grief and fear and sorrow. And there's just not a whole lot of consoling or comforting that goes on. Real friends will provide real comforting and encouragement. That's what we need to do. That's what God expects. He wants us to make every effort to follow the example of his son, to make friends and have those three components. Information, you got to share with people who Jesus is. Participation, you have to become their friend. Demonstration, you have to live the life that you claim to believe. And I believe that if we will practice Paul's model of friendship evangelism, we will stir interest in others to want to know more about Jesus. But let me give you this word of caution. As you develop your friendships, and the time comes when your friend will want to seriously study God's word, and hopefully that time will come. If for some reason he or she does not accept the word of God immediately, please do not withdraw your friendship. Because if you do, you will never bring that person to Jesus. But with your love and your prayers and your persistence, it can still happen. Remember this, Never give up on people. God didn't give up on you. Remember that. Let me end today with another true story. I read it in a book called Real Hope in Chicago. It's about a high school coach named Wayne Gordon. Wayne Gordon was doing a Bible study after school with some inner city kids in the Lawndale area of Chicago. At that time, it was the second poorest black community in the entire nation. It was overrun with drug dealers, gangs, prostitutes. And God gave this man a heart for that black community. And he told the kids that he was going to move to Lawndale. And they said, wait a minute, coach. We love you. We appreciate what you're doing for us, but we think you're nuts. That's what the kids told him. It's not safe for white folks to live in Lawndale. That's what these kids told him. You're not going to last a month. Wayne moved there anyway. And it wasn't easy. He got attacked by one of the street gangs. He had his house broken into again and again. But he stuck it out. And those black children asked him to start a church and to be their preacher. So he was ordained into the ministry. His love for the community of Lawndale was so strong, he brought lots of people to Jesus. He even witnessed to the guy that kept breaking into his home, and eventually he became a Christian. And they built a church. And I read today they have over 600 members of that church in Lawndale. And the church has built over 50 new houses and apartment buildings, a new gymnasium, a house for recovering drug addicts, and they even built a medical center and got top-notch doctors to go there. In other words, the gospel didn't just transform the people, it transformed that entire community. So why did Wayne Gordon go through all that trouble? Because he loved the people of Lawndale so much, he was delighted to share with them not only the gospel, but as Paul said, his very life. That's what Christianity looks like. That's what friendship evangelism is all about. So I want to end today with this question that I asked at the very beginning. Do you have a friend or friends who are not Christians? My guess is every single one of us here today can say yes. Well, that leads to this question. Are you practicing friendship evangelism?
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.